Good morning, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you have joined us this morning. We continue to go through the book of Colossians, looking at the fact that Christ is all sufficient. All that we need to have a right relationship with God is Jesus Christ and His words. And we want to encourage you to have that same relationship. We don't need the words of man. We don't need man's philosophies and vain deceit. We need Jesus Christ. And our theme is taken from Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11. Christ is all and in all. He's all that we need to be right with God, and He's in all of the areas of our life that we need Him in. And so I hope that our studies are encouraging and helpful. We're going to begin in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. We're making our way through the book. If I were to summarize chapter 1, I would say that Christ is our first place. He is our priority. He is our preeminence. He's the head of the church. Christ needs to be first place in our life. If I were to summarize chapter 2, I would say that Christ is our wisdom and our understanding. We don't need the philosophies of man. We need the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding that comes from Jesus Christ, and that's all that we need. If I were to summarize chapter 3, I would say that Christ is our life changer. He changes every aspect of our life. And we're going to be looking at that this morning and, Lord willing, next week. We're going to see the different areas in which He will change our life. And friends, He wants to change yours as well for the better. And some of these things that we are looking at this morning deal with those who are already Christians. Somebody says, well, I'm already a Christian. I don't need to pay attention. Well, the whole book of Colossians, just like much of the New Testament, is written to Christians. Even Christians need to be reminded of some things. And we're going to see in today's lesson that Christians need to be reminded to put off anything of the old man that is sinful and wrong. So even those of us who are children of God need to be reminded of these things this morning. But Christ can change our life. If you look down through chapter 3, you'll find different areas in which He will change our life, and going into the first six verses of chapter 4. First of all, He will change our perspective or our outlook on life. Number 2, He will change our image, our character, our personality when we put off that old man and put on the new man. Number 3, He will change our authority, what guides us in life, what directs us in life. Number 4, He will change our home life, our marriage, and our family. Number 5, He will change the life that we have in our employment, with our job, the employer and the employee relationship. And number 6, He will change how we act and speak with those who are out in the world. Christ is a life changer. You know, I think about that expression, life changer, or even game changer. Something comes along that is a game changer. A piece of technology, a person, a invention, something that makes our life easier, something that just changes the game completely. In sports, it could be an athlete joining the team that just turns everything around and all of a sudden we start winning. It could be a piece of technology. The smartphone was a game changer. Years ago, the computer was a game changer. The internet was a game changer. To completely turn us around and put us on a new direction and a new perspective and a new productivity, Christ is that same thing in our life. We need a life changer, and that is Jesus Christ. So we're going to see, first of all, this morning, as we continue to look at this theme of the all-sufficient Christ, He is everything we need, and He will change all aspects of our life that need to be changed in order to be right with God. First of all, Jesus is going to change our outlook or our perspective on life. What is our focus? What is our vision? What do we have our eyes, not just our physical eyes, but the eyes of our mind, our thoughts, desires? Is it set on the things of this earth or the things of heaven? So the first thing that Paul is going to write here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 is this. If then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall you also with him be manifested in glory. Notice, first of all, seek the things that are above and set your mind on things that are above. We're talking about perspective here. We're talking about focus. We're talking about our goal, our orientation in life. It needs to be set on things that are above. Those things where God and Christ are in heaven. Our goal in life, our perspective, needs to be heavenly, not earthly. Paul writes, if you died with Christ, and if you were raised with Christ. This goes back to what he was saying in chapter 2. In chapter 3, in verse 1, if you were raised together with Christ, raised in what way? Well, if you go back to chapter 2 and verse 12, we were buried with Christ in baptism, and we were raised with him through faith. And in chapter 2 and verse 20, if you died with Christ, that's when we put off that old man in baptism. This is not talking about physical death. This is talking about the spiritual death, the separation from that old life. And it takes place when we are buried with Christ in baptism. So just like as Christ died on the cross, was buried in the grave, was raised the third day, and then ascended to sit at the right hand of God in glory, we will go through that same process if we allow ourselves to obey the gospel. We will die to sin. We will be buried in baptism. We will be raised to walk in newness of life. And when Jesus comes again, we will be manifest and raised to be with him in glory. That same fourfold process or step. We need to do that. And if you haven't done that, if you haven't been buried with Christ in baptism, we encourage you to do that. So taking off with this idea of being buried in baptism, then we were raised with Christ. Well, this new Christian life is a change in perspective. We're going to be seeking the things that are above. We're going to be minding the things that are above. That's where our focus is. That doesn't mean we're literally or physically looking up into the blue sky and the clouds. It means that in our mind, we are going to follow the will of Christ that comes from heaven. And we're going to live a holy life so that we can go to heaven. We're not going to be fixed on the things of this world. So many people around us are fixed on the things of this world. Materialism, money, power, greed, work only, physical things only, food, sports, music, entertainment. And these things in and of themselves are not necessarily wrong. They can be, and they often are, but we're talking about our focus or our goal. Our focus and goal is going to be going to heaven. That's what we're going to be seeking. That's what we're going to be setting our minds on. So Christ is seated at the right hand of God. This is a place of authority. He's ruling and reigning over all. And we're going to have our minds set in that direction, not on the earth, not on the worldly and earthly things. Why, Paul? For you died. Again, that's when the old man was put off and we were buried with Christ in baptism. You died and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's a beautiful picture. The Christian life is hid with Christ in God. This is the sense of hiding in the, hiding or concealing in the sense of protection and care. It's as if Christ is wrapped around us. And that really is the next point. When Christ, verse 4, who is our life, shall be manifested. That's talking about the second coming of Christ. Then you also with him will be manifested in glory. We can go and be with Christ in heaven. We'll meet him in the air, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, and we'll go to heaven, and so shall we ever be with Christ. But we have to put off that old man of sin in baptism, and we have to be raised, and not just raised, but our perspective as a Christian has to be right. Sometimes Christians, after they're baptized, they lose that proper perspective and they start living like the world again. As a Christian, we have to keep that proper perspective and goal and orientation and focus. Christ, number one, will change our perspective. Let's have that perspective so that when Jesus does come a second time, we can be with him in glory. The second thing that Paul says will change with Christ is our image, our character, who we are, and what we are made up of. We need that so much today. We have so many people in the world that are living the sinful, worldly life, and that's what's causing so many problems in the world around us. And Paul is going to mention sexual things. He's going to mention material things. He's going to mention anger. He's going to mention lying. These types of things and many others like them are all in the world today, causing problems for individuals and causing problems for others around them. Marriage problems, family problems, society problems, government problems. It's coming from these various sins, and we need to let Jesus change our image, who we are in our character. I'm not talking about our physical look. I'm talking about our inward character. And so let's look at what Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake comes the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience, wherein you also once walked when you lived in these things. But now do you also put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his doings, and have put on the new man that is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bondman, freeman, but Christ is all and in all. Paul is going to write to Christians, those who are already Christians, and he's going to say, put to death therefore your members which are upon the earth. The implication is there that some of them had slumped back into doing these things, or it's possible for Christians to go back to doing these things, and you need to stop them as a Christian. We certainly need to stop it if we're not a Christian and obey the gospel, but if we are and these things are in our life, we need to stop them. Put it to death. Don't keep it around. Don't let it keep living. Cut it off. Put it to death. And he says, your members which are upon the earth, and that goes back to verse 2, we're not going to be focused on the things of this earth and some of the specific things that he's going to mention of this earthly focus are these sins. So we're not going to engage in these things. And Paul writes, put on the new man after the image of him, after the image of Christ that created him. Christ wants to change our image and turn us into a new man and a new woman. We can be that if we will obey the gospel. So we're going to stop these earthly sins. Well, what does Paul mention? Well, just a few things looking at these words. We don't have time to go into them in detail. The first deal with improper attitudes, sinful attitudes, sinful desires, evil passions. Some of them are sexual in nature, sexual immorality, a sexual relationship outside of a godly marriage. So Paul mentions fornication, porneia, which is any sexual immorality outside of a God-ordained marriage, uncleanness, passion, evil desire. Evil desires are not limited to sexual sins. It's often that, but it could be other things that are unclean and improper, other kinds of desires that are improper, whether for power or money or control. It certainly includes sexual sins. And then Paul says covetousness. This is greed. This is an unwholesome desire for more things, which is idolatry. It can become like a god, small g, that we worship. An idol doesn't have to be rock or stone or some other material. It could be money, materialism, greed. Put that away. And Paul says, for which thing's sake comes the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience? Christians who disobey are going to be punished. Those in the world who disobey will be punished. And Paul says, the wrath of God will be upon the sons of disobedience. When you look at these things that are listed here in the world today, they're promoted as good and fun and wholesome, and man likes them. Everything's okay. But Paul says the wrath of God is against those sins. We've got to change our character. If we don't, we will be facing the wrath of God in the judgment day. In our society and around the world, these things are perfectly fine. But God is going to give his wrath and show his wrath toward those who do these things. So stop these things. And Paul writes in verse 7, wherein you walked when you lived in these things. Notice that you can live in these things. You can continue on in these things. But you can stop them. You can stop them. Somebody says, well, I was born this way. Or I've been doing it a long time. I can't stop it. Or I'm in an environment that everybody's doing it, and so I have to do it. No, you can be engaged in these things and stop it. Stop it. You don't have to walk or live in these things anymore. Paul writes, put them all away. You can stop them and should stop them so that we do not face the wrath of God. And then he goes into some more attitudes that deal with our temperament and our self-control. He talks about anger and wrath and malice. Our attitude toward those around us. Do we get angry when we should not? This is not talking about righteous indignation towards sin. This is talking about a temper flare-up. Stop those things. And then Paul talks about sins of the tongue, railing, putting people down, shameful speaking out of your mouth. And then he says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his doings. You put off that old man in baptism. Don't go back to it after baptism. So, sexual sin, improper desires, covetousness, lack of self-control, out of control temper with your anger, improper words, these are a part of that old way of life. This is not an exhaustive list. There are other places where Paul mentions other sins, but he chooses to mention these sins in this occasion, and these things are to be done away. Put it off. And so Jesus wants to change our image. And then he says, put on the new man. And we'll talk about that in just a minute when we get to verse 12, some of the characteristics of that new man. It's not enough to stop bad things. We have to start good things. But put on the new man that is being renewed unto knowledge. We can continue to be renewed and grow. Paul will say the same thing in a parallel book in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23, that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man. It's the same thing. And we can be renewed. And look at this, after the image of him that created him, we can be in the image of Christ and the image of God. We don't have to be in the image of the world. We don't have to be worldly. Let God and Christ mold you. And notice that this renewal is unto knowledge. It's not just what we think or feel, but the renewal comes in our mind, Paul says in the Ephesians passage, and it's according to the knowledge of Christ, of course, which is contained in the New Testament. And then Paul makes the point that this new life can be for anyone in verse 11. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Greek, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, bondman, freeman, but Christ is all in all. These are different kinds of people that were known in the Roman Empire at this time, Jews or Greeks, circumcised or uncircumcised, slaves or free. The Romans were free, but they had slaves, so bondmen or freemen. He mentions Scythian, which is interesting, a reference to fierce Scythian warriors. They were brutal. They were mean. They were cruel. Even someone who has a very mean and cruel and terrible background, Christ is for them as well, and they can become a Christian and leave that old, cruel, harmful, violent way of life. Christ is all and in all. So the second thing that Christ is wanting to change in our life, in addition to our perspective, is our image. Our character, who we are inside and out. And we're going to put off those sinful things. And then we're going to put on a life, a character that is godly and Christ-like. What is that? Well, let's read verses 12 and following. Put on, therefore, as God's elect and holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving each other. If any man have a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do you. And above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Put on. So get rid of these sinful attitudes and actions and put on as God's elect. We've been chosen in our obedience to the gospel. God chooses us to be a part of his family, and we need to live like it and act properly. Holy. This is set apart from sin. And we're beloved. We're beloved. We love one another as Christians, but we're beloved of God. He's our Father, and He loves His children. And because of that, we need to live a certain way. Well, what is that? A heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering. Some of these things are the opposite of what we read earlier, especially when we were reading about anger and wrath and malice and railing and shameful speaking and lying. We're not going to mistreat others. We're going to be compassionate. And you think about this list. Every once in a while, I don't see them as much anymore, but over the past few years, I've seen yard signs out front of a house, "Be kind." Of course, that's biblical. That was not something that some idea that man started, that goes back to God's word, be kind. But we would need to be more like that in the world today. One of our problems today that's driving so much of our problems in society is a lack of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, and forbearing, forgiving, and love. It's lacking. People are so mistreating others around them. And so we need to put on this better man, this better attitude. Friend, you can do that. It begins in baptism, and it continues with a proper heavenly-minded perspective. But you have to let Christ change you. He's not going to force His way into your life. He's not going to do that. He offers the invitation. He extends it to you through His word, and you have to take it. Now, starting in verse 15 through 17, Paul is going to write about how that Christ can change your authority, what guides you, what rules you, what directs you in life. Let's see what he writes, Colossians 3:15. and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto God. And whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In these three verses are three statements that deal with what is going to be our guide in life, or who is going to be our guide in life, our authority, our guide, our principle, our standard of rule and conduct. Who or what is that going to be in our world today? It's I think and I feel, it's man's laws, it's man's opinions, it's man's philosophies, man's desires. We live in a postmodern world where everything is relative and subjective. Everything's relative, meaning moving around all over the place, not fixed. Everything is subjective, meaning inside of us, rather than objective, outside of us, God. It's inside of us, what we think and feel. And so that becomes the rule and the standard and the authority. But Paul says that is not to be the case. The Christian has a changed perspective, has a changed image, and has a changed guide. First of all, and we'll just get into this, and then we'll have to stop for today, and we'll pick it up, Lord willing, next Sunday. First of all, Paul writes, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The word rule there means literally to arbitrate. It's like an umpire behind the plate, calling balls and strikes, like a judge, an arbiter, one who makes decisions. And the peace of Christ, which comes through his word and which comes because of a right relationship with him, that is what is arbitrating, making judgments in our life, not what we think or feel. But the peace of Christ is to arbitrate in our hearts. And that's where it starts, in our heart. Our heart has to be guided by the word of Christ. And that's what he's going to say in verse 16, the word of Christ. So it starts with the words of Christ making those decisions. To which also you were called in one body, that's the church, and be thankful. Well, we'll close with that, and Lord willing, we'll pick up with that in our next lesson. Friend, will you let Christ be your game changer, your life changer? We need to turn around 180 degrees. We need to make a change. Let him do that with you today. It starts with being baptized into Christ, and it continues on living a proper life. But you have to choose that death, that spiritual death, burial, and resurrection. And we would encourage you to choose that today. All you need, friend, is Jesus Christ. That may surprise us, but that's the truth. And if we can help you to do that, please contact us so that we can study God's Word together. I hope that you'll have a good day.